Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. Can you believe it's December 4th already? And we just came back from Disneyland and got to see all the wonderful Christmas decorations there. And I just got to tell you, out of all honesty, I'd much rather be here. So this is a bigger place to me than that place. But good morning. I'm glad you're all here this morning. This is Centerpoint First Baptist Church. My name is Dan Maselli. I'm the associate pastor here. And this is number two in the series of Happy Birthday to Jesus, a birthday party for Jesus. And last week, Gary did a wonderful job in delivering a salvation sermon about the birthday of Jesus, about what it means to, what Christ's birth meant to us as he comes into this world. And it starts in Matthew 3, and it says this: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And we are talking about Mary here, right? The mother of Jesus. But this son of hers, this isn't just an ordinary son. This is the Savior of the world. This is the Redeemer. This is the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is the Most High who will come and judge all of humanity. Where at some point, all of the sinners and all of the saints are on their knees, bowing in authority to Jesus. See, this is who we are celebrating. This is who we are coming to see and coming to hear today. It's a salvation for everyone. It's a salvation for all of humanity. And this is being saved by grace through faith in him. And we have all come today. We have all come to see, right? We have all come to hear this message of hope, and we need hope today, don't we? Can you say amen? We need some hope today. So today's message is about receiving the invitation. And what that is coming, I mean, that was last week's message. It was the receiving of the invitation to come and see, to come and hear. Today's message is the accepting of that invitation, the go and do. But can't be all just come and see, come and hear without the going and doing. So this, you know what? Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord, and thank you so much for this moment in time that we can all be here together to hear your word and what you have meant to us through your son, Jesus. Lord, I just give this sermon to you, Lord, and I let it be none of what I'm saying. Lord, let it be all of what you're saying. Lord, I just ask that you guard in my mind, Lord, that each of us will take whatever it is that you need us to hear home. Lord, that we can go from the come and see to the come and hear, to the go and do. And we give all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this receiving of the invitation, that's what Gary's message was last week. This come and see and come and, this is for the individual. That's for each of you. And together, when we get together in a room like this, which they call church, we are like-minded, of one accord. We are unified because we know who we serve. We know who it is that we have accepted. The accepting of the invitation, the go and do part, that's where we go out into the hard road of life and we walk with people, where we encourage people, edify and uplift, right? And walk with them. That's the go and do. See, Satan wants nothing more than to interfere between the receiving invitation and the accepting of it. Because once you hear the message and you accept Jesus into your heart, Satan wants to distract you and deter you and to stop you. He wants to fill your life with all these things so that all it is for you is come and see, come and hear without the going and doing, right? See, our problem starts right after we receive that invitation. Life hits, problems persist, situations arise. And that changes our perspective, and we just don't want to go, and we just don't want to go do, especially the do. So is there anybody here dealing with like family members that don't know the Lord, and you're just praying for them, and nothing seems to be changing, right? This is that part of a message where do you have like unforgiveness inside of you? And not just unforgiveness for those around you, but what about you? Have you forgiven yourself? For Satan starts getting to us because we don't forgive ourselves. We get so caught up in the family members that don't know the Lord that we forget to live for the Lord. We get the go and do. We forget the go and do. What about grief and regret? What about addictions and abuses? What about these things that Satan can use to make it all about come and see and not about the going and doing? See, all of that weighs down in our hearts. It weighs down in our heads and starts affecting us mentally, and where depression fits in and anxiety fits in, and this fearfulness fits in. And we become motionless. Physically, we get sick and we get exhausted and we get numb. Do you see the perniciousness of Satan here? Do you see what he takes, the message of salvation and what Jesus means to us and the freedom from captivity and the new life? And we sit here numb and motionless and exhausted in our seats. So much coming, seeing, coming and hearing, and we're not going and doing. And then we become this spiritually disconnected. We get disenchanted a little bit. Maybe with God, maybe with the Word. Maybe just a little numb. Well, using this birthday party scenario as a platform, raise your hand if you've ever been to a party. Anybody ever been to a party? A few of you have been to a party. They're kind of fun. But here's what a party is. So see, a party is where you go to put on masks to hide the real you. You put on a fake you. It's what we do. It's what we do in life. It's what we do. And we all know people like this. We've taken this birthday party for Jesus and we've turned it into a costume party. Because we're not who we say we are. We wear these masks sometimes, and see if any of these are for you. Masks of smiles. Have you ever went to a party and felt awkward? You go find yourself the corner of the room and you sit down in the chair and you just smile awkwardly because you don't really fit in. So you wear that mask of smiles. What about this mask of being is fine? You ever been at a party and somebody asks you, how are things going? Oh, fine. I know when I ask my wife, is everything okay? And she says, fine. I know it's not fine. It's a loaded question. Most of the time, it's my fault. But you ever been there? You ever been that person that put on that mask that everything is fine? You've got these, you're crushing under the weight. You've got these things that you're carrying. And you, maybe you're just a little frustrated, but everything's fine. Everything's just fine. You ever put a mask on of secrets? You ever been to a party just carrying that burden? That battling, that addiction, that abuse, that abandonment? You're disgusted with yourself? You ever been to a party and you just don't like you? You don't like what's going on? And so you've got this mask on of secrets because you don't want them to see the real you. Harry preached this. This message is nothing new. You ever have the mask of falseness? You ever been to a party when you're not really there at the party? You go to the party and you're just not really there. You're dealing with the depression. You're dealing with the anxiety. You're dealing with the self-loathing, with the fear. You're dealing with the unforgiveness. You're dealing with all these things. And you got this mask on that's false because you're really not there. How about this mask of pretending? You ever tried to be something that you're not? Go to the party and make it out to be something that you're totally not. Big show for everybody to see. See, it's what happens when you come and see, come and hear without the go and do. You have this issue of putting these masks on in our lives. And there's another mask. This one's kind of funny. It's still under the one of pretending. You know, most of you guys know that I don't like Disneyland. Gary loves Disneyland. It's not my favorite place. We just came back from there. I have to be honest. I don't like that place. It's not my place. This is my place. Going to the beach, that's just not my place. But I do have a mask of pretending. Because there is one thing that I really like in Disneyland. It's actually California Park, and it's Little Mermaid ride. I know all the songs in the Little Mermaid ride. I love that. I get like sweaty palms. I get all excited when we're going to get to go on this ride. I love the clamshell, the going underwater, right? I love all that stuff, and I sing the songs, and I take my daughter on there, and we're in the little clamshell together. Music singing, and she's looking at me going, "You're not going to sing, Dad." Yeah, I am. And I start singing to my daughter, and she slides away, and I keep pulling her back, and she slides away, and then I pull her back as I'm finishing the songs, and then the clamshells turn, and she's looking at her mother saying, "Help me." So I put this mask on, and pretending that I don't like this place, and actually, maybe I don't, maybe I do. but boy, I really like that ride. Well, there's a fun side to the mask that we wear. But we find that there's these problems in our life, if they're left unchecked, they overtake us. See, the scripture says it like this: no problem has overtaken you except what is common. What is common? All these things that you're facing, all these family members that don't know the Lord, all these things that are weighing down on you, all your past and your present situations and circumstances, your future hopes and dreams, all those things that are in front of you and bearing down on you, they're common. But we've taken these common things and we've made them so uncommon in our lives. And then what does that do to God? When God says there's common and we make them uncommon, we're taking a power and authority away from Him, right? Can I get an amen? Anybody awake? Right? That's what we do. That's what we do. So we have to place pressures on ourselves that we block the hope that is really found in Jesus. And it makes us into something that we're not. So let's look at God's word. If you get out your outlines or open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, you'll see it there in your outline. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent to God to the town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, for the Lord is with you." I would underline that rejoice. And I would underline the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who has been called childless. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. In those days, Mary set out to the town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zachariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed in a loud cry, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy. She who has believed is blessed because of what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." Man, that's powerful, right? So the point one this morning is you are not who you think you are. You are not who you think you are. In verse 29, Mary goes like this. She is deeply troubled, and she is wondering going on. In verse 30, she is afraid because the angel of the Lord has to come to her and says, "Do not be afraid." So Mary is deeply troubled. She is wondering, and she's afraid. In verse 34, it says she is doubting and questioning because she asks, "How can this be?" Let me set you up a little bit about Mary. Mary is from this no good place, from the other side of the tracks called Nazareth. Nothing good and no one good comes. And Mary knows that. Now she is pregnant. And she's not pregnant by a man. She is pregnant by the Spirit. Could you imagine how that explanation is going to go for her? Trying to explain that she's pregnant, but by no man. She knows, Mary knows exactly what will happen to her if she's found out that she's pregnant. And unless it was because of rape, she's going to be killed. Mary is 13 to 14 years old here. She is just getting her arms, barely getting her arms around life. Let me ask you, you girls, at 13 and 14, did you guys know what you were going to do? Did you guys know what you were, where you were going to go at 13 or 14? This is Mary. This is who she's dealing with. Her masks is the deeply troubled heart and that confused mind and those doubting and questioning, those masks. That is, you hear all these wonderful things. See, Satan loves it when we get caught in this trap and we start making out who we are not. We start making ourselves out to be who we're not. His intention is to blind you and stop you from connecting to who God called you to be. The truth is Mary... Well, actually, the problem really is, it's not really the truth of it. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. The problem is that we supply Satan all the strength that he needs to steal, kill, and destroy us when we put on this false perception of who we are. When we start thinking who we are not instead of who God called us to be, right? If you want to find that hope and you need to find that hope, let me tell you where hope is not. Hope is not found in what God does for you. If you place your hope in the miracles and blessings of God, your hope will fade. Because with God, the answers are not always yes. Sometimes they're no. But most often they're wait. And we aren't patient enough to wait on the Lord. See, when the answers aren't yes, we start getting upset. We start questioning and doubting God. But with God, it's not always yes. Hope is found in what God in you and what God has done to you and what God has done will do through you. Salvation, redemption, revival, restoration. See, that's the eternity that we're looking for. That's the hope. If our hope is found with what our eyes see here, then our hope is not found there. And God is spending all this time working on us here to bring us to eternity with Him. This is who Mary really is. She is a child of God. Amen? She is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is a child of the Most High God. And you could say, I am a child of a God. Right? Say that. Put your hand on your chest and go, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. That's right. So that brings us to point two. You are who Christ says you are. In Luke 21, 28 through 56, in verse 28, it says, who Mary really is. The angel comes to her and says, grace favored woman, the Lord is with you. And he's telling that to you. He's saying, you are favored. God is with you. And then with that, you can put your hand on your chest and you say, I am favored. Ready? I am favored. Right? In verse 30, it says, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And I can say that. I can put my hand on my chest, and you can do that too and say, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. Right? God is with you. You are favored. Verse 31 through 33 says it like this. The angel comes to Mary and says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, I love this little passage because I turned it around for a salvation story with me. And this is what it said. This is how I read it. And you could read it this way. Do not be afraid, Dan, for you have found favor with God. Listen, Dan, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now, I'm not going to conceive and give birth to a son. Right? That's not going to happen. But I will conceive the message that I received from the invitation. And with that, I will give birth to the fruit that is, which is Jesus Christ, the character I'm supposed to be taking on, right? So I can read on in this. And you will call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of God, the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. My house. This house. He's telling me, Dan, look, you are favored. God is with you, and he's going to reign in your house. So if I've got this distraction going on in my life, with it could be my family, it could be my past, it could be my present. If I've got this thing in my life, I can say, not my house. That's not going to happen in this house because of what God has done in this house. He's formed me and made me into something new. And in that, he says, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no end in me. He is working in me. That's powerful. You know, it goes on, it says, God has a plan. I kind of went on a little tangent here, because with all that stuff, and I'm thinking about, as I'm reading this to myself, and I'm saying this to myself, I've got all these things that are happening in my life, and I just got to know that God has a plan for me, right? And I think there's a scripture in there that says, God has a plan for you. He has a plan to prosper and grow you, right? But we end it there. What you need to realize is that he is going to prosper and grow you through your circumstances. And what we often do is avoid our circumstances. We want a short way through them. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm going, how could God have that plan for me when circumventing the situations that come in my life because I don't want to go through them, right? So don't avoid them. Embrace them. Because of what God is doing. You are who Christ says you are. Verse 35, it says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and overshadow you. God is at work in you. God will never leave you or forsake you, but empower you and strengthen you and guide you. And then we can say, God is at work in me. Ready? Let's say that. God is at work in me. And we need to know that. This is how we know we are not who we think we are, but who Christ has called us to be. Now, in the middle of all of this, you are who Christ says you are. The angel gives Mary something to consider. The next verse there, it says, your relative, that childless old woman, Elizabeth, well, it didn't say it like that. I said it like that. She's already 6 months pregnant, and she will conceive and give birth to a son also. And this is the Lord telling me he's already at work. We need to understand this, and we need to consider this also, that God is working now. He was working in the past, he's working in the present, and he's working it out for his future. And you plan in that future. He is sovereign. And if God is sovereign, then whatever has or will happen to me, whatever I see, whatever I hear, whatever I think, I have to know God is forever. He will be sovereign. And he is. He is just and righteous. He is always perfect in his timing. Even though I don't understand his timing, even though I don't understand what it is that I'm going through, God is sovereign in all things. See, this is where Mary was finding her hope. This is where Mary found her strength to get up. See, this is the shift where we go from who we think we are to who God has called us to be. Verse 38 of Luke 1 says it this way. Mary says, I am the Lord's slave. May it be done to me according to your words. And how many of us here can say that you've cried out, Lord, may it be done to me according to your word? Because we don't know, we don't understand it. We don't want it done like that. We want God to give us a blessing or a miracle. We don't want to have to go through it. But Mary stopped all that thinking, and she shifted to I am the Lord's slave. Now, this is all just wonderful information, right? But there is something that you must do. There is an action that must take place, and Mary knew what it did, what she needed to do. That action plan is this. The scripture says it this way, don't just be hearers of the word, but do what it says. We can't just come here and see and come here and hear it. It just can't be about that. There has to be a part where you put this thing into action and you do it. Your families need to see it, right? Those close to you, those who you work with, those who surround you need you to put this action into play and do something. So this is what Mary did. In verse 39, it says it this way. Mary got up and went quickly to the town in the hills of Judea. She goes and sees her family. we need, and sometimes we can't go to our families. Sometimes our families might be a little disjointed, distracted. They might not be the best for us. But where I'm talking about this family, we need our spiritual families because they are like-minded. They believe the way we believe. They feel the way they think the way we think, and we need to be around that. We need that edification. We need that encouragement. We need that support system that we don't always get from our earthly families. We need to get that here. And if we start acting like our earthly families here, then where are people going to get this? Right? The come and see, the come and hear is essential, but the go and do is what God has commanded. So we need to get it. And thank you all for being here today. We need to get involved with a Bible study, right? And you need to walk with someone or have someone walk through life with you. It is essential that you have these things. You are not on your own anymore. You are a member of the family of God. And that's important. That's the part we need to realize, is that we are not of ourselves. We are who God, who Christ has called us to be. Elizabeth does a great job here of doing all the edification and uplifting. In verse 42, Elizabeth exclaims, "You are the blessed of women. You are the most blessed of women." She knows that by just seeing her. In verse 56, it says she stayed there for 3 months. Wow. Mary stayed there with Elizabeth, getting all this encouragement. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. All that hope being poured into Mary, and maybe Mary pouring some into Elizabeth. For 3 months, I wonder what the conversations would have been like. See, all of this happened to a part where Mary started changing her perspective. And she's turned and she started praising God. Mary exclaims in verse 45, 46 through 47, "He has," this for yourself, but she says, "He has helped me. He has satisfied me. He has toppled strongholds. He has scattered my enemies. He has done this for me." Then at the end there, Mary exclaims this verse, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked down on me with favor from the humble condition of his slave." See, in spite of all that was going on in Mary's life, in spite of all the stuff that was happening to her, and all the masks, all the questions, all the doubts, all the fears, all the stuff that was going through her head, Mary got up. And I have to ask you, will you get up? Will your perspective change when you leave here today? And not just be just hearers of the word. Will you do what it says? Mary got up. She went up, and it says at the end of your outline, will you go and tell the good news about Jesus? Will you go and tell this invitation about Jesus' birth? Will you go and tell about how you received salvation and how they can receive salvation through Jesus? Will you go and tell? You can go and tell by helping in Awanas, by helping in the children's program, by helping in all of the little events that we do throughout the Love Salida projects. There's these little things for you to go. Will you go? Will you obey? Become who God intended you to be through his Son. Be filled and empowered by his Spirit so he can do great things first in you and then through you. And then be thankful. And this is something we often forget when times get really bad. We forget to be thankful. We forget to thank God for the breath of life that is even in us, for you even here. We need to wake up and thank God. How many of you this morning woke up and said, "Thank you, Jesus"? A few. Praise God. It should have been all of you. Right? My hand didn't go up. I should have been the first one on my knees rolling off. But that's what we need. We need to be thankful, because here it is. You are blessed. So say, "I'm blessed." I'm blessed. You are favored. Say, "I'm favored." And you are his. Say, "I'm his." That, no matter what his answer may be, when I know I am blessed and when I am favored and I am his, no matter what his answer may be, yes, know or wait that I know that God will be sovereign in each and every answer he gives. See, and that is good news. If, you ready for the if? You ready? 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 If you get up. You get up? Mary got up and she went. She heard, she saw, and she went. Will you? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord, and thank you so much for this message. Lord, that we can find this hope in this time right now. Lord, and we need to look no further than you. Lord, I pray for perspectives to change in the midst of all the stuff that we're burying under. All of the stuff that our hearts are feeling, our heads are thinking, our eyes are seeing, our ears are hearing. Father, we are just being crushed. Lord, I just pray for each one here that they find that hope in you. That we hear your voice. That our feet are steadied on your solid ground. That no matter what comes against us, Lord, no matter what it is, Lord, that you're sovereign and you're perfect. And you're on time. And your answers is what they need to be. Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise today. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.